Welcome to Growth Marketing Camp, a podcast powered by OpenSense, where we sit down with leaders and founders from diverse backgrounds in marketing, tech, and beyond to explore what it takes to build a leading brand that's shaping the world of B2B. Let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another exciting episode of Growth Marketing Camp. I'm your host, Jazz Binning, and today I'm excited to welcome Melanie Reed, Event Marketing Manager at Riskified. Melanie, I think we were talking about this before. It is finally great to have you on the show. I think it's been like almost a year. We're a few months short of a year since the last time we actually spoke and met in person.
It's been a long time coming. I'm excited to finally be here. I think we've been talking about me coming on this for the year too.
Yeah, though I was going to ask, I know, again, you're at Riskified now. So when we met at the time, you were at Bizibo, and that's where the two of us ended up meeting during Inbound night. Is it 2022? We'll talk a little bit about our experience when we did meet at Inbound, because myself and my colleague Deanna were actually going through and just trying to get inspiration from the different booths out there. And I remember the Bizibo one, you could just see it from like a mile away because you guys had like a production. You had like a t-shirt making. I'll never forget how many options there were. And I thought, man, gotta do what these guys did. So can you just, before we actually go into what it is you're doing right now, Riskified, can you just share with our audience what you guys had done and what you had planned out with this whole like getting the t-shirts printed right then and there? I just love the idea of it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd say that one's probably one of my favorites that I've done so far. So we had the t-shirt making in real time. There were, I think, six personas with little name tag looking prints that you could heat press onto the t-shirt. And they spoke to our audience. So there was marketing maestro, event experience leader, and so on and so forth. And then in real time, and you could also choose a few, because why limit yourself? And then in real time, it was heat pressed onto the t-shirt and attendees could walk away with it. But it was a cool experience, but also helped the people working the booth really understand who's coming up and cater conversations based on their persona. So win-win.
Ooh, okay. So obviously, you know, I've got the t-shirt and I loved it. I got the marketing maestro one and I wore it recently, actually, to the gym because I always buy extra, extra large. Like I buy something big so I can wear it with like, you know, my shorts and it's a whole set. But I never thought about the angle where you guys are actually now having conversations and you know that this person does content, this person does marketing, this person's in ops. So that's actually a wonderful way for you guys to categorize and just, again, tailor your conversation, your guys' pitch. Love the idea.
Exactly. And it kind of made people stay because it took a minute, 30 seconds to get that print on there. So we had their attention for at least that.
Yeah. So I remember myself and Deanna had stayed. We talked and we still had enough time to record some video content from you too and share what you guys are doing. So I love that. Well, now you're at Riskified. So why don't you just tell me and the audience a little bit about what Riskified is and what you're currently doing there?
Yeah. So Riskified is an e-commerce risk management platform. So think about when you're online shopping and making that transaction, Riskified would see that transaction and flag it for any type of fraud. So there, I'm an event marketing manager. So this entails trade shows and some smaller regional events for North America and Latin America. And I'm a co-lead on our big summit called Ascend.
Got it. And where is the summit this year?
We actually just had it last week in Nashville.
So, you know, you guys just wrapped that up. Why don't you share with the audience kind of what it was? How long you guys had been planning it and your top takeaways?
Sure. So I actually started at Riskified about 6 months ago. So we started planning it about 6 months ago. No, just kidding. Before I started, my manager had already done a lot of work, scoped out the venue and really gotten together with marketing and sales for strategy. So it's a 3-day event and we have a lot of important content. We have keynotes, we have breakouts, and then we have a lot of special events as well. So we have excursions where we were able to send the attendees out on the town and explore different Nashville experiences, which was so cool. And then all, you know, culminating in our first ever awards, actually.
Amazing. It sounds like, again, since you guys are doing a lot and you're having to manage all of these people and attendees, that would be kind of difficult to wrangle that many people. What was the attendee list look like? Like, how large was it?
It was, I believe, a little under 300.
Oof. Okay, 300. And you, as you mentioned before, a lot of CFOs, like financial personas. What do the personas look like?
Yeah, risk managers, finance, kind of all in that world. And different, you know, I was also just coming in and learning about all of these personas as well. So there are a lot of different pieces of risk and a lot of different titles I'm finding, but in the finance and risk management.
In terms of actually building out and then planning this, you mentioned marketing and sales was kind of collaborating. What did that relationship look like while you guys were prepping for Ascent?
Yeah, and it wasn't even just marketing and sales. It's, you know, sales, it's customer experience. It's, I think there were stakeholders from 6 different teams. And it's so important to figure out and align on goals with all of them. So we had a weekly cadence of, you know, different task forces focusing on different parts of the event. So we had one for content, we had one for production, and so on and so forth. And we also, we work heavily in Slack. So anytime anything happened, we were up to date there.
Besides trying to get attendees and obviously speakers and trying to get those people interested, did you guys try to approach sponsors as well and try to engage them?
We did. Yeah. We had 3 sponsors this year. So it was great. I think looking for even more and to expand the program moving forward.
Amazing. And then in what ways has your experience from Bizibo and then the years prior, because I know you've been doing events at Bizibo when you were there, now you're at Riskified. How has your experience in your past events brought you to successfully execute on this event here?
Yeah, I've been in events my whole career. So before Bizibo, I was at PTC. And before that, I was at an agency. And I think being able to see all of the different kind of industries and verticals has given me a lot of exposure, which helps me with every event that I work on. In particular, I'd say Nth Degree was my first big exposure into different tech companies and their events. So bringing all of that forward, I was able to focus for Ascent on bringing what attendees want to see, not just in content, really bringing the networking element in and the experiential element in.
Amazing. And I'm asking this question a little bit selfishly, actually. Again, because you guys mentioned you also had sponsors and you've had experience also managing a booth when you're there, not only actually building up the event, but for a lot of those brands and marketers out there who are sponsors and they want to get involved, what would you say are kind of the top tips for trying to supercharge the ROI and make the most for the post-event experience, especially when you get those leads?
Yeah, I think the leads that you get on site can extend a year. So I think first, when you're at the booth, really establish the connection with whoever you're talking to. Of course, most times when you're at a trade show or somewhere, you're there to sell, but really it's getting FaceTime. And I think, you know, I hate to use the buzzwords, but post-COVID, networking and in-person is super important and kind of top of mind. So I think that would probably be the first focus on that. And second, I think measuring that relationship. So understanding where to meet your audience and where to meet who you're collaborating with. Is it truly visibility or are they already in your funnel somewhere and you want to cater the conversation differently? And then follow up with all of that. You know, it's a mix of thought leadership and sales is probably your best bet moving forward. It's showing what your company can do, but it's also establishing your company as a success.
When you say thought leadership, especially in just post-event engagement and nurturing those leads, like what comes to mind? What are some stuff that have actually stood out based off of your experience or things that you have seen other companies do?
Yeah, I think post-event webinars are something that works. Is you see who was interested in a particular topic and then you want to expand on it. So you take a session or a topic that people were networking on and then you make yourself the content creator. So rather than having whatever speakers you had or whoever was presenting before, you can then take it in-house and really establish your relationship with that topic.
Got it.
We included sponsors and partners in our sessions. So anytime we had a panel, our goal was always to include a partner, a merchant, and a Riskified person. So getting kind of well-rounded content and talking points out there was important to us.
So it was mostly like you guys were able to focus on the educational aspect of it versus, you know, trying to connect sponsors to your attendees.
Yeah, but we also put a lot of emphasis on networking and FaceTime. So like I mentioned, those excursions, you got to select ahead of time what they wanted to do. And it would be, I think it was 3 hours around for each excursion. So some good offsite time. I know no one wants to sit in a hall or convention center for much longer than that. And then we made sure to have a lot of different meeting spaces that were available. So if, you know, a sponsor or if a Riskified attendee wanted to meet with whoever, a merchant or a prospect on site, they had plenty of spaces to do it and ample opportunity.
I think the excursions is something that is still new. I haven't experienced a lot of it, especially at the level that you guys had planned it out. Again, just taking my experience, I had gone to the Forrester Summit like in Austin, and we noticed, especially as sponsors, and you know, I had a chance to talk to other people who were there, other sponsors. The biggest issue I think most marketers had is you got these attendees who are interested in trying to make the most of, you know, just the ticket and being there. You're spending a lot of big bucks on actually being there. There's a flight and then there's a hotel. And it's almost competing with the needs of like the sponsors where it's like, we want to be able to interact with people. The best way to actually interact with the attendees and have the attendees network with each other was actually during the reception or during the lunch, which were there were many opportunities and it was about 30 minutes to an hour. So again, the idea of having a proper excursion where you're offsite, you're interacting with other people, like-minded professionals in the same industry as you, that seems to be way more impactful than sitting in a session silently, watching someone give a presentation, and then maybe having 5 minutes or so before the next set of sessions to interact with them or the speakers. Does that sound like something you guys are going to continue to do? Well, hopefully it was easy to execute because it sounds like from an attendee perspective, I would absolutely love that. And you do walk away with lasting memories, real relationships, because it's not just, you know, schmoozing a little bit over, you know, a topic. You guys are actually doing things and you're building shared memories together. I love that idea.
I love the you're building shared memories together. You're a wordsmith over there. Yeah, it's something that we'll continue to do for sure. We also built networking time into the agenda because it is so important. But the excursions were really focused on Nashville since we were there. So we were able to really invite them into the city and say, this is not only an experience with Riskified, but it's also we're bringing you to a cool city that you want to explore and we don't want to stop you from exploring it. So let's join you and let's cultivate that community.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's another angle again that I didn't realize. When I went to Austin, it was my first time going there. I had to do it on my own time and it was after the event. So you're already exhausted. You want to have FaceTime with the team. So the fact that you guys, again, were able to take your attendees and say, hey, you're here. You're in a very cool city. Let's give you a chance to network, build relationships, interact with us, and then explore the city. It's like win-win for them. So I absolutely love that. I can imagine the next time you guys do it. So you're planning on doing it every single year?
Yes, and different locations.
Okay, fantastic. Make sure you make your way to Vancouver.
I'll add it to the list.
You should totally add it to the list, Melanie. And let me tell you why. Because I always joke, I am in Vancouver. I'm the Canadian division of OpenSense. But I always joke that because the CAD has kind of tanked relative to USD, we're like 30% discount. So
good to know.
It's a beautiful place. Come on by, go to Whistler. And I think your attendees and your team is going to actually enjoy it. So do make your way down to Vancouver. I'm trying to encourage our team to do like a leadership offsite here because, again, it's just a no-brainer. And Canadian market, still the same. I'm sure you'll be able to interact with a lot of customers. But I digress. I want to focus a little bit less now on events and more on you and your experience and your career. I first want to understand your experience and see if there's any advice for you for anybody who's right now searching for a job or trying to find their next opportunity. Before we actually get to that point, share a little bit about your passion. You said you've been in events basically your entire career. How's that going for you? Is that somewhere that you actually see yourself, or did you end up finding a place and realizing this is what I'm good at and this is what I love?
You know, it's funny going all the way back to college a million years ago, I was doing events on campus and didn't even consider events as a career. It just wasn't even on my radar. So luckily, I took some internships that taught me that it is a career. And so I got to pursue what I was excited about right off the bat. But I actually started in weddings, which is a little fun fact. And that lasted about almost a year. And then I transitioned over to the more corporate landscape, which is where I'd say my passion truly is bringing, you know, a company's vision to events and bringing the objectives of the overall marketing team and enhancing them with all of the events. Yeah, I'd say for anyone starting out in events and marketing in really anything right now, networking is going to be one of your major tools. For me specifically, I think almost every job that I've had in the last 10 years was because I knew someone who was there, or I knew someone who knew someone. And, you know, it's not just networking when you're job searching. It's also just keeping the relationships for knowledge exchange and for fun. So it'll build a lot.
Yeah. And I think now, especially more than ever, that is so, so important to do. And I don't know if people still, if you actually go into LinkedIn, you realize that people are using it, right, in a little bit of a different way. But then I still see a wave of people who just start using LinkedIn again, just to job search. And I don't think that they still realize that the opportunity that is waiting for them on LinkedIn to just engage and interact with stuff what we're doing, for example. It's not to get anything from anyone, but to just keep relationship alive, keep interesting people around you, learn from them. And then obviously, right, with Growth Marketing Camp, now that you're in, I'm gonna give you a little secret that the rest of the people who are part of Growth Marketing Camp have soon discovered. Once you're in, you can't get out.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Because we are a bunch of creeps and we like to follow people and see where they're going and connect people. And I think
I love that.
A lot of the marketers right now who are doing that and who are leveraging LinkedIn as a, you know, to just build relationships, to connect and to learn, they're the ones who are winning. But 100%, I'm right there with you. I think I've been at OpenSense now for about, gosh, it's been like 4 years. The idea of me doing like, you know, a traditional job search and going onto like Indeed, is Indeed still around?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah. And actually, you know, applying that way versus reaching out to your network, what a difference in your experience too. For anyone who has gotten, is kind of thinking of a transition and maybe they're thinking about moving into marketing again. You had a lot of adjacent experience moving from even planning events in college, doing weddings, and bringing it to SaaS and bringing it to kind of tech. I still think it's a wonderful, I try to turn to B2C, even wedding planning, when I'm trying to come up with fun ways to, and fun swag ideas, right? Any advice for someone who has never stepped foot in tech or who has never actually stepped foot in SaaS if they want to get into event planning here?
Yeah. And I think kind of what you said, you can find inspiration anywhere. I follow some people on LinkedIn who are 100% not in the industry. They're in fashion or they're in movies or things like that. And you can always bring those skills and thoughts into events. When it comes down to it, when you're a marketer, you're a marketer. So you definitely need to learn what your company does and learn about the technology. But when it comes down to the function of events, you are bringing that kind of tactile organization and, you know, content management and things like that, but you're also bringing in creativity. So if you're brand new to it, it just means you have a new perspective. So definitely educate with whatever company you're looking to join. But I think bringing in that new approach is super important.
When do you think is the right time for someone to bring in? So say for you, right, you've been at Riskified now for 6 months. At what point do you transition from I'm here, I'm a new employee, and I want to learn from the people around me to, all right, now I think I'm ready to also start introducing stuff that has worked in the past? Because there's that fine line, right, when you just join a new company where you want to come in and you want to show that I'm here to just absorb everything. But then you want to also get those quick wins and be like, hey, here's some opportunities. That I think is always like, it's very interesting for me to learn from other people where that balance is. And where they do that, bring in their own ideas while, again, honoring the people that are there while trying to make a difference. Because obviously they hired you for a reason, because they saw something in you. And now they have certain expectations to be like, all right, let's see what Melanie can do for us.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's definitely not intuitive. I think it's a lot of times understanding your team and your team dynamics. I've been lucky enough to have super open-minded managers. My manager now is very collaborative, and I love that. But one thing that I've done the last few roles is something that I call listening tour. So that's really just meeting everyone that you would collaborate with, and even people outside of that, people actually in the weeds in the product, and understanding what they want from events and marketing and what improvements they already might have in their mind that haven't been implemented that a new person could come in and work through. So it's just really understanding everyone that you're collaborating with and everyone in the company. And then, you know, I'm an eager person to share ideas and processes and things that have worked, but it's also, you know, in events, you have to know where your attendees are and meet them there. It's also meeting your team where they are and meeting the company where they are. So not every company is going to be able to function the same. So figuring out where the spots are that you can implement a new process or a new idea that'll be, you know, best adopted in the company.
Yeah, I love that you said that. And sorry, you just want to make sure I heard right. Listening tour. Is that the...
Yeah.
I love that. That's my first time actually hearing that.
I cannot claim it. Rachel Heller was the one who introduced me to that. And I have brought it with me everywhere.
I'm going to bring it with me now too. So shout out Rachel and Melanie for teaching that. I had never heard of that, but I love that take. And again, meeting them where they're at, coming in with an open mind, but ready to actually, you know, make a proactive change, talking to everyone you're going to be interacting with. I love all of that. Again, it's been like 4 years since I've been in a new company, but I recently onboarded someone on my team. Actually, she's in sales. And this is my first time managing a salesperson too. So that's for another show.
Marketing and sales. It's, you know it's a relationship you got to build.
It is. And there's, you know, even for myself, when I think, man, you know, how can I be the best manager to a salesperson if I'm not sure what their success metrics are? And I have to learn that. So doing that now, right, while you're just in the weeds and there, it's, you know, it's still almost the end of, is it Q2, Q3? I don't even know, honestly. It's like, I'm just trying to have a hot girl summer and I don't have time. I think all of us are. And we're at the point where there's so many initiatives. So curious for you, especially this year, we have had, gosh, a mixture of about 4 to 5 events that we have personally run, like the company that I'm at right now, 2 of them virtual. And then we were sponsors at about 3 or 4 of them. And it comes to the point where it's like back to back to back to back. And then you get the leads. And now it's time to work the leads. How do you prioritize everything that you're doing, especially if your role 100% requires planning almost for some events, right? 6 months in advance. And then I'm sure you're just constantly either looking for new events to get involved in, or you're planning your own events. How do you prioritize the stuff that you're doing?
I think first it's goal setting. It's, you know, figuring out a portfolio that gives you visibility, education, brand awareness, kind of everything that the company and the marketing team is moving towards, and figuring out where your priorities are, working with campaign managers, things like that. And then looking at it holistically and saying, okay, these two, we can do the same type of session. So, you know, we have a series, for example, called Risky Talks right now, and it's regional events. And typically it has some content and some networking. So we're, you know, working smarter and say, okay, the audiences in these two regions are looking for the same information. So we can carry over a lot of the content, different experiences, different approaches, but, you know, what events complement each other. So I think that is firstly what it is, but also giving myself time to strategize is so important, because I don't want to do a copy and paste of events. That's not me. That's not what I want for Riskified. So it's figuring out different personalized experiences and taking the time to reflect on each event. So truthfully, I don't have a secret to the approach. I just measure the importance of each one and the time of each one and try to accommodate that way.
And I love that you mentioned just giving yourself enough creative space and time to strategize, because I think that's the one area where a lot of marketers struggle, you know, to find the time, because there is not a single moment that you could just sit there. There is things to be done always, whether it's keeping the marketing engine running or planning out for the future. I don't know what you guys use for goal setting, you know, whether it's OKRs. We're even trying to build out now OKRs and goals that span across multiple quarters besides just one. There's always something to do. And then you almost feel guilty from every single person I have spoken to on GMC. You almost feel guilty for giving yourself time.
Breathing time.
Totally. And then you realize, why am I struggling to come up with creative ways to do things? Because it's always back to back to back, and always you're running at 130, 140%. So underrated, but I can't agree with that more. And I'm going to try to, I tell myself every single quarter in my team, next quarter, we're going to be a little less aggressive. But then it comes to the point where I think marketers generally just, they just want to go big. Because
you know what helps too?
You have to prove, yeah.
What helps too is when you have systems in place and processes built in, then you don't have to think about those details, because you're already organized. You're already set up for success. So the infrastructure is there, which makes it more efficient. So figuring out project management and how you work and how you communicate gives you time back to use to really give yourself that space, and knowing the importance of it, and knowing that as a human also, your brain is going to work better if you take, you know, that 5-minute break and then come back to it with a fresh mind and give yourself 10 minutes to brainstorm.
Yep. And I love that. Again, super underrated advice, but prioritize, take the break, and then lean on process to help scale your efforts. Love that. You consistently use the phrase, there's not enough hours in the day. Obviously from Creepy.
Maybe.
I'm curious. If you had 2x the staff, budget, or time, which one would you choose and what would you do with it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so what was it? Budget, time, and staff? It's a hard one.
It is.
I think budget, because there are so many creative ideas that I have swirling around in here that a lot of event professionals and marketing professionals have that may make sense to the audience, but you can't do because everything is expensive. And being able to not limit myself would be amazing.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
No matter what event, no matter how many people, I think we're all going to think there aren't enough hours in the day. There's always more that we want to do. And that's an amazing thing, and also a terrifying thing, is, you know, there's always something to strive for.
100%. And you know what? I'm going to say that now I'm picking apart the question, and I realize it's such a sneaky question, because with more budget, you could get more staff.
That's true. Ooh, yeah. I like that. I got a win-win. I got two.
You totally did. You totally did. Because if I got enough budget, yes, I could, you know, hire staff where I need, get some freelancers, consultants if I need, and then obviously get the tools, tech, get the swag that I want, you know, whatever it is that I need. So I love that. Also found a little hole. So thank you for showing me that there is actually a flaw in the question.
I'm sorry to the next person who can't cheat the system like me.
They cannot. Unless they don't listen to this episode, you know, which in that case is still a win. So thank you. What is a lesson that you have recently learned in the context of marketing, right? It does not have to be specific to events, that you think is extremely valuable? And then what's a lesson that is taking you the longest to learn?
You're hitting me with these hard-hitting questions here. I think a lesson that I would say I'm consistently learning is just be ready for everything. You know, marketers and event people and myself, I'm a type A person. I organize everything in my life. And when it comes down to it, learning how to adapt is something that I've had to learn the hard way. And I consider it a skill now, but it definitely isn't easy. It's still a lesson that I think everyone has to learn. You can plan everything perfectly and something will go wrong. It's not if, it's when. And it's being able to think on your feet and not letting that derail you. I think that's something that earlier in my career was a lot harder, is when something went wrong, not letting it impact all of the other things that are going right and that I need to still focus.
Yeah, I love that one. And so actually, it leads me to my next question. You mentioned early in your career, you experienced that. If you could go back to the Melanie from, you know, recent graduate, maybe your first job, and you could give her advice, what would you tell her?
Oh, God. Don't wear the heels on site. Wear sneakers. But I think, you know, I think it's just being able to know that it's going to work out. Just, you know, dear past Mel, it'll be fine. You know, keep the calm head. Keep your focus on the goals that you have and know that regardless of what goes wrong, it's more than likely going to work out.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. And there's a quote that I had read recently that kind of reminds me of that. And again, for anyone who's listening, good to keep this in mind. The quote says, everything happens for me, not to me. So if anything has happened, even if you feel like, man, how am I going to get through this? It has happened for your benefit, whether there is a lesson to be learned or whatever it is. And you look back, as painful as it is, time heals everything. And then you end up growing as a result of it. Doesn't matter what you have experienced in your life. So absolutely love that. That's a perfect advice I would also give myself if I go back. And that is the last, I'm going to say, maybe complicated question. I always joke, we move into rapid fire. People find these questions to be like, oh my gosh, these, you know, I've never been asked that before. If you're game,
of course.
Okay, let's do it. So I've got a series of questions. Again, I always tell everyone that I'm interviewing, try to do it fast because it's impulse. It's supposed to, but no one ever does. So you're allowed to think.
Oh boy.
I'm going to start with, what is your favorite B2B brand? Why? And then B2C brand that you get inspiration from and why?
These are hard. I think you lied to me. B2C, one of my favorites is Coach. Their experiential division is incredible. Their marketing is incredible. B2B, Riskified.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
That is very smart. A lot of people have done that. They have done that. I know what to say too. Yeah, OpenSense is my favorite B2B brand, obviously.
Obviously.
What is your most strongly held professional belief?
Focus is the most important thing.
Yep, definitely. What helps you focus?
Project management. Like I said, organization is in my blood. I'm a Notion fan. I'm obsessed. So whenever I have that, I know what to focus on and when.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I love Notion, but it's definitely, it's a bit of a learning curve. And I have not had the time to sit there and actually build out Notion. But I did, you know, I'm going to try to give it a chance again. I have an account. I just have to remember my login. But Notion.
I can send you some templates.
Send me some templates. What would you say are your top three favorite productivity tools that you use on a day-to-day basis?
Notion, Slack, and Monday.com.
Yeah. Oh, I love Monday. I also love Asana when we were on Asana, but fantastic. Only one I don't use is Notion, but you're going to send me the template. So I can start using that.
You're going to get there.
Amazing. What made you smile today?
This? Yeah, this. But also kind of everything. I'm having a great day. It's beautiful outside. And yeah.
Fantastic. Hey, where are you based? I didn't even ask you.
I'm a little bit north of Boston.
Okay. All right.
Massachusetts.
Amazing. What is your spirit fruit? So this is different from the spirit animal. What is a fruit that you think embodies your spirit and why?
Avocado.
That's the first time we've actually heard avocado.
Really? I'm into the fruits that are less fruit-like. They're a little bit more unique. And yeah. I think avocados are versatile. You could make them into so many different things. Put them in ice cream. It's creamy. Avocado toast.
They totally are. And I'm going to give you one. First of all, I completely forgot that avocado is a fruit. One of the, I'm big on TikTok. I love TikTok. Also the conversion rate for TikTok. If I see anything, I'm basically at a 99%. I'm going to buy it or I'm going to make
it. I'm like that too.
Yeah. Avocado ice and like diced up avocado and ice, which I'm not a big, like I'm not an ice eater, but there's a community of people that love eating ice and condensed milk. Is apparently a dessert. I don't know which country has created this dessert, but apparently it's just a perfect mix of different textures. And then the condensed milk cooled over avocado is something worth trying. If you're into avocado and you have ice and condensed milk, try it out.
I think that sounds amazing. Maybe add a little like cinnamon or sugar onto it.
Ooh, I like that. I definitely like the cinnamon. Are you salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Yes, 100%. Same. What was your last impulse buy?
Probably the big over-ear Apple headphones.
That's all I use. Honestly, I don't have it here. It's over there. My favorite.
My in-ear ones when I'm on meetings back to back sometimes die because of the battery. So I got the ones that.
What color did you get?
Blue. I got gray. Okay, so I got gray, but then I got a little rubber covering that's light blue.
Okay, all right, I've got the blue one. I looked into that. I will look at the rubber coverings. What is a pet peeve you have?
Slow walkers.
Wow, that is actually very, now that I think about it, if I'm walking behind someone slow and I'm in a rush, that's actually one of the most painful things to experience.
The anticipation of passing them on the street really gets me.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. And it sounds like something you've experienced multiple times.
See, I spent a lot of time in New York City.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I don't walk enough in public to experience that pain. Something I have to say. What word do you hate hearing?
No.
That's a good one.
Yeah, stick with no.
Yeah. I will not say no to you. If you could pick superpower, what would you choose?
I've had this question before and my answer changes every single time. I think talking to animals.
Hey, that was mine.
Was it really?
That's the only, no one else has ever said it before. I'm the only person. So I'm so glad that you.
I love it.
Yes, you have. Do you have any animals of your own? Any pets?
I wish. There's a dog in my future. I already know, but not at the moment.
Amazing. Well, I still love that you love animals and you want that to be your superpower. What is one random thing you can't live without?
My iPad? Does that count? It's not that random.
Yeah, I mean, iPad counts. I would have even thought like headphones because a lot of people have said their headphones. So maybe your Apple headphones.
Oh, you know what it is? Actually, I changed my mind. It's my Kindle.
Okay. Kindle is a good one.
So, yeah, I'm a book nerd and to help me kind of de-stress, I can't read on my iPad because I'll still see messages and emails popping up. So I have to go to my Kindle.
Yeah. So I love getting books. Now, actually reading them is a struggle that I have. But I have a tendency to physically want the book. So I just keep swiping on Amazon and ordering the books and they keep ending up here. And then my husband's like, have you even got? And I'm like, no, I just can't stop.
Bookshelves are decor, though.
I totally agree. And they actually all do, aesthetically, they work in my spaces. So maybe I should look into a Kindle, though. I think it's going to be way less waste. Last question. Who inspires you? Who do you think that we should invite onto the show?
There are so many people. Devin Cleary. Luckily, I've worked for him before. And he, before I worked for him, was one of my role models. Just one of the best creative minds in the industry, I think. Allison Snow, who I worked with at Bisabo, is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met and loved learning from her. So she's definitely a role model. And oh God, there are just so many.
Well, Devin or Allison, I've seen Devin sprinkle my feed with all of this wonderful. So I follow him too. So it's like, hey, whenever I see something good, I'm like, hey, you see the Bisabo yellow and you see Devin. So both of them, I can imagine would be, again, a wonderful experience to invite them onto the show. If they're interested,
I'll give them hints. I'll nudge them for you.
Drop some hints. Yelena's going to be listening to this too. So I'm going to probably start following and trying to work on getting them onto the show anyways. If they ask you, let them know how wonderful an experience this was.
Okay. I won't give them any tips for your quick questions though.
Yes. Yeah. No, please don't. Because I love to watch people kind of, struggle to answer on the spot, but you did a really good job.
Oh, thanks. I want to see who else wants to talk to animals with us.
Yeah. And when it does happen, we can, like I said, form our own little club. But last question. Again, I told you that we're done, but where can people find you? I know you're on LinkedIn, so we'll link your LinkedIn. Are you active anywhere else? Twitter, TikTok?
No. LinkedIn is the best for me, but also, email me. I love meeting new people and reach out. Let's network. Like I said, super important.
Amazing. And the community will be able to access Melanie once this episode is out. And again, Melanie, I told you this before. Now that you're part of Growth Marketing, you cannot escape us. We are a cult.
I'm still bothering you for that shirt.
Yeah.
We want to trade a shirt for a shirt.
Yes, 100%. We will trade a shirt for a shirt. We will 100% trade a shirt for a shirt. So I'll make sure I set that up. But again, thank you so much. I think the team, my team is going to love editing this because it was actually a lot of fun. But anyone who is listening, they're going to have a wonderful time experiencing this episode. And again, thank you so much, Melanie, from the Growth Marketing Camp community and the future, because we're going to turn this episode into a Flaming Marshmallows newsletter as well. From them, subscribers, thank you, and hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Growth Marketing Camp. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would give it a quick 5-star rating or share it with a friend or colleague looking to strengthen their skills with tips and inspiration. If you want to learn more about the company behind the show, head to opensense.com. That's OPENSENSE.com. We'll catch you on the next episode.